Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. I'm getting ready to be transformed by the word.
Testament formula. In the New Testament, there were very simple principles that God gave that qualifies his children for these things. And even me as a father, there are very simple principles and expectations I have of my children. When you wake up in the morning, clean your room. Is that a difficult job? It's not. Your own bed that you wake up on, late, it's not a big deal. It is something similar God is expecting us to do. Reasonable service, something very, very, very reasonable, not overbearing, not extra, not too much, just our reasonable service. And I'll talk to you about that reasonable service in a minute. But last week I told you three things that is expected for divine provision. Divine provision. I said, number one, you must lose yourself and think about others. Is that not what I said? Lose yourself and think about others. Lose yourself. You want divine provision? Lose yourself and think about other people. When you begin to think about other people, God begins to think about you. God's attention is drawn to you when you begin to think about other people. Luke chapter 12 verse 29. Luke 12, 29. Let's go quickly. Luke 12, 29. Luke 12, 29. Today I'll be doing the verse 30, but let's start from 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. And I said that most of the anxiety that we carry is because of our selfish nature. We are anxious because we are selfish. What are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? What are we going to wear? Our anxiety is from our selfishness. So he says that do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, or have an anxious mind. Meaning, if you start seeking what you should eat, what you should drink, anxiety will automatically follow. Most of the people who cannot sleep in the night is because they are thinking about, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to satisfy this family? How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? That's what I'm talking about. I'm teaching you how you are going to do it without having to think too much, without having to spend sleepless nights and be anxious for nothing. You are too anxious. Your heartbeat is rising. Your blood pressure is rising. Everything is rising in your life. And things are getting difficult because you are too anxious. So I said that to start with, let's not be selfish. To start with, let's not be selfish. Lose yourself. Lose yourself. And think about someone. Number two, I said lose yourself and look for someone. So the first thing that you do under not being selfish is that stop thinking about yourself, think about somebody else. And the third one, I said lose yourself and pray for others. Lose yourself and pray for others. Lose yourself and pray for others. That's when I was saying that anytime you go on your knees, Father my job, Father my this, Father my that, Father my this. So last week I gave you an assignment that take a sheet of paper, write the names of 10 people at least that you want to see God bless, 10 people you want to see saved, 10 people you want to see their life changing. And then every day when you go on your knees, pray for these 10 people until the end of August. How many of us have done it? Blessings, blessings, blessings. You see, the younger people have done it. The empenifono there, omo e so busy say, omo kra omo yeye. Amen. God bless you. Put your hands together for yourself. You've done well. Take a sheet of paper. If you have not done it, when you go home, do it. It is all about losing yourself and praying for somebody else. It will also help your prayer life. At least you'll be guided instead of just going there and start talking by heart. Are you here? So that was last week. Today I want to go forward. Go to verse 30 for me. Verse 30. The Bible says, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things." The nations of the world seek these things. So all these things that we are talking about, food and drink, what to eat, what to stay, and all these things, the Bible says that these things the nations of the world seek after. That means that it is actually worldly. It is worldly. So number one, I said that don't be selfish. Number two, don't be worldly. You want divine provision? Don't be selfish. You want divine provision? Don't be worldly. And being worldly is just means, let's not follow or copy the things of the world. Let's not copy the things of the world. Stop copying the things of the world. Stop being worldly. It's very simple. Stop copying the things that you see in the world. Stop copying the things that you see in the world. James chapter 4 verse 4. James chapter 4 verse 4. Anytime you begin to copy the world, you just position yourself as an enemy to God. Are you here? Anytime you embrace the world, you make a declaration without speaking. Adulteress, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, make himself an enemy of God. We are asking for divine provision, and the provision comes from God. Provision comes from God. So embracing the world is saying that I don't have anything to do with you. I don't care about you. Copying the world is saying that I'm not interested in this thing that you are doing. You copy the world in the way we speak. We copy the world in the way we dress. We copy the world in the way we marry. We copy the world in our relationships. No, now it's become, if you try to be too Christian, you are out of style. You are too born again. You are too holy, holy. You are too spiritual. Brother spirit, sister spirit. We can't even be ourselves around you. What is yourself that you want to be around me that you cannot be? We can't be ourselves. What is yourself? We can't be our worldly self. Is that not what you are saying? We can't be our worldly self. But as long as you maintain your worldly self, you create enmity between yourself and God. It's very simple. It's like saying that, let me give you a typical example. So those of you who have found boyfriends in life before. When you have left a relationship and now you have been engaged or connected to another man or another woman, anytime we are talking and you refer to the other one, "Oh, I remember my ex. My ex used to." What are you doing? If your ex was that nice, what are you doing here? "Hey, I remember my ex. Oh, my ex used to serve me in bed." Go. So what are you doing here? "I don't serve you in bed, but your ex used to." So go and receive your bed serving. Your ex indeed. And that's how we treat God. That's how we treat God all the time. We were saved from this world that we couldn't handle. We were saved from this world that was killing us. And then we come into a relationship with God. And every time we are trying to relate with God, we bring our world into it. Yes. That's how we operate. And I remember when I was with him. By now, since I came to church, the pastor said I should let go of all these things. Now look at the way I'm struggling. Look at the way things are not even working for me. Those days, by now, they turned around. No, you know, about three men would have sent me money. Are you not even at peace now that the three men are gone? And you're not even afraid to say three men. fortresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Do you not know that your worldliness is what is causing your poverty? Your worldliness is what is causing your stress in life. Your worldliness is what is bringing your difficulty. You are too worldly. You like the world. You like the sugar mummies. You like the sugar daddies. You like the things that are going in the world. The things that are happening in the world. The things that the world is chasing. Suddenly you are not sure of your gender alignment. Too much information. Make you confused. We are so worldly. The world is a very, very enticing place. The world is a very, very interesting place. But the world is also a very dangerous place. So when you are being enticed, understand that you are not the only one being enticed. Even your pastors are being enticed, but they are fighting against the enticement. They are fighting against the enslavement. They are fighting against the draw on their life. They are fighting against it, and you can also fight, and you must fight it. This is the difference between us and you. We are all receiving the same attacks, but we are fighting more than you are fighting. You are succumbing to the attack. You are just yielding to the attack. You are surrendering to the attack because you are thinking that pastor is not good. Pastor doesn't understand this one. Pastor understands it very well. Pastor understands it very well. I'm one of the pastors that can tell you I understand it very well. Very, very well. But you can still stand. I said you can still stand. I said you can still stand. Stand. Don't be worldly. There must be a difference between you and the world. There must be. It's come to a time where we can't even tell the difference between a Christian and a churchian and an unbeliever. We have all become the same. We come to church not because we are Christians, but because we are part of a church. We are members of an association. We are members of a department. We are members of the choir. That's why we are here. We are members of Sweet Spirit. That's why we are here. We are members of the media team. That's why we are here. Not that we are members of Christ. We are following Christ. We are in church because we are Christians. But we must come to church because we are Christians. We must come to church because we want to have an encounter with the God that saved us. We must come to church because we want to build our relationship with Him. Not because we want to mark a register. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Too many people are walking in this thing and they see it as membership of a fellowship, membership of Accra Hearts of Folk Association, a football club. We are just joining some club. We are just joining. I'm a Rohite. Why are you a Rohite? I'm a Rohite because I come to Rohi Church. But you don't even know one verse. When they even ask you what's the meaning of Rohi, you are confused. Say, Rohi, hey, sorry. Sorry, papa. But what does it mean? Oh, R-O-H-I. It just say, sorry, pa. When you're right, you are just a supporter. You are a supporter of a club as far as you are concerned. Change your heart, expecting divine provision. It is saying that I have given up on worldliness. I have turned my back on the world and the things of the world. I have given myself to the things of the kingdom. Adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy. Stop being a friend of the world. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Romans 12 2. I'm still talking about the New Testament formula for divine provision. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. As you are walking out, don't be conformed. Conformation means that you have fallen in line with the world. You have embraced the world. You have connected to the world. You have become like a chameleon. And that's the reason why most of us, we are not able to attract divine provision. Divine provision. Because we have embraced the world too much. You have just aligned and conformed. We are not saying that don't be friend with the world. We are not saying that don't have unbelievers as friends. You must control the relationship. Control the relationship. You must, look, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world, so definitely you would have unbeliever friends. Even at your workplace, you have unbelievers. So I'm not saying that cut them off. Don't talk to anybody. When, are you a Christian? No, you're not a Christian. I can't talk to you. Are you a Christian? No, I'm not saying that. That one too is extreme. What I'm saying is control the relationship. Control the relationship. Don't be in a relationship that you are being controlled, especially when it's a Christian and an unbeliever. Control the relationship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And all these things is about the mind. Renew your mind. And it is by the Bible. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Look, if you are not careful and you allow the world to enter into your ship, you will sink. If you allow the world, the world will embarrass you. I have come to see, let me just give you, I've come to see an advice. I've come to see that if you allow your flesh to control you, your flesh will embarrass you. If you respond to everything the flesh wants, very soon you'll be embarrassed. The flesh wants food, I give it. The flesh wants drink, I give it. The flesh wants alcohol, I give it. The flesh wants sex, I give it. Very soon the flesh will embarrass you. Control your flesh. It is the flesh that responds to the world. Control it. Control it. It's not everything that the flesh wants that you give. It's not every food that must be eaten. It's not every woman that must be followed. It's not every man that must be responded to. It's not every call that you pick. Do not be conformed to this world. You want God to take care of you? Don't be worldly. Don't be worldly. Check your choices. Number one, in dealing with worldliness, check your choices. Check what you choose. Check when you go to school. Check even the friend that you choose. Check your choices. Check the course that you choose. Check the job that you... Check your choices. Check the man that you want to marry. It will tell you. Your choices will tell you whether you are worldly or godly. Your choices will tell you. Check your choices. Number two, check your friends. Check your friends. Check your friends. Number three, check where you go. Check where you go. Then the next one to get divine provision is to trust God. Go back to my original verse for me. Luke 12:30. Luke chapter 12 verse 30. Trust in God. He says that for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And that's what I said, godliness, worldliness. And your Father knows that you need these things. That's trust. Your Father knows that you need it. So trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. You want God to provide your needs. Trust Him. Trust Him. Anytime I have sensed trust from my children, I go overboard in provision. And children really, really, really can put their parents under pressure when they trust them. If you trust God, He will rise and deliver. If you trust God. Our problem, I have seen, and even me, it happens to me, is that even when we are praying, there's no trust. We pray without faith. We pray because we have to pray, but not because we believe that there will be an answer. From today, I want you to pray as if you believe it. Pray as if you understand that there's a provision. Pray as if you know that you are talking to somebody who will answer. Pray as if you know that you are talking, even though you don't know, but pray as if you know that you are talking to somebody who is listening and will send an answer. When you are talking to your brother in America or your sister in America, and then you have school fees issues to be paid, and you have certain things to be provided, when you are talking, you talk confidently, and you know that He can provide. When we are dealing with God, it's almost as if we are just throwing words in the air, without any hope, without any trust, without any expectation. We are just throwing. Most of us have become, we are like second, third, fourth generation Christians in our family. So when we were born, our parents were praying in the house. When we were born, our grandparents were praying in the house. So prayer doesn't occupy any spiritual position. It's just something that we do because I came to meet it. It's like the way we eat. Most people, when they are eating, they don't think about How much proteins do we have in this food? How much carbohydrate do we have in this food? How much? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Charlie, put the food down, make I chop the food. I came to me, when I came, we were eating. When I came, we were eating. So when I came, my mother was eating. My father was eating. And then they started feeding me. So and we were never taught to, protein? Is it just put the food before me. That's the reason why we like gobe. We prefer gobe to salad. We prefer gobe. A few days ago, I saw a post that was very, very intelligent. It was a post of an elephant, a cow, and another animal. Three big animals. And those animals, they eat grass throughout. And then the post was, what do we learn from these three animals? Then the answer was that you cannot lose weight by eating salad. I said it's good, we have to start eating meat. but the fact of the matter is, when we're growing up, we are not exposed to, and it might be this, but we just eat. And it's the same way we pray. We came to meet Mandakalalaba, Robadagadaba, Rekededebe. There was no background teaching that when you are praying, you must believe, you must have faith. And when your faith, this is how you express your faith. This is how you express your belief. This is how you trust God. When you pray, do this and say, we have just come to meet prayer as prayer. We have just come to meet talking to God as talking to God. So there's nothing to it. All we do is Mandebo Sheka, Randemekadaba. So very soon you will start complaining that when I pray, there's no answer. When I pray, there's no answer. I'm not going to pray again. And there's somebody else always sitting somewhere saying that anytime I pray, God answers. Anytime I pray, God answers. Why? Because there's a formula. There's a formula to it. Most of us are praying without trusting the person we are praying to. If I don't sense that my child trusts me, I don't rise up to perform what he's expecting. I'm giving you the school fees to see if you can pay. I will never pay. I will never pay. If my son comes to me, I've got a rent bill, but I don't know if you can pay, so I'm just putting it in. I won't pay because you don't know if I can pay. But when he approaches me, that, oh, my teacher sent this one to me, but I think he sent it to me wrongly because I know that you have even paid already. I'm just giving it to you. Already, the man has put me under pressure that I know you have paid already. Kai, make a quick call right now. Advise the teacher, never send such a message through my son. Let it be known to you, this is the last time. Now, quickly, I will send Momo. Silence the issue because my son has showed that he trusts me. If you can begin to operate with God with your trust, the way you are expecting distinction, and then anytime you are praying, Father, thank you for the distinction. I am happy that you have given me the distinction. I'm excited about it. I walk like a man with this. I told you about a year ago how a pastor who didn't have a car, anytime he gets to his entrance, his gate, he will just use his mouth, papa, papa, papa. Then they will open the gate, not the pedestrian gate. They will open two gates. Then he will move in. Ooh, ooh. Then he will enter, and then he will park, and then he will go, turn off the engine. I'll be walking. He was walking. He said it here himself. He's a bishop. I know him personally. He did that for months. He said one day, when he was about to leave the church, somebody called him. In the church, he has stayed there for a long time. Somebody called him and said, I have this car in my garage, but I've not been using it for some time. I don't know if you'll be interested. He said, the woman didn't even finish talking. He said, oh, let's go and let me check it. They went to that same day. However, he had to move the car, whether he'll bring a mechanic or he had to tow the car, whatever, he moved the car from the garage. He said that day when he got to his gate, it's not his mouth that he used. He pressed the horn. Papa! Papa! I'm telling you, if you can trust God and operate like somebody who trusts him, he will provide for you the thing that you are expecting. This month is our month of unusual provision. It's our month of divine provision. When you go on your knee to pray, pray like somebody who trusts God. Pray like somebody who understands the scripture. Pray like somebody who is talking to a God that hears and answers. Your God is not deaf. Your God is not dumb. Your God is not poor. He's not broke. Your God is not walking away from his responsibility. Trust him and pray as if you trust him. And as long as you can trust him and pray like a person who trusts his father, I can assure you that this month will truly, completely, definitely be a month of unusual provision for you.
Hello, listener. I believe tonight's word on greatness has been a blessing to you. And I believe that you have taken the laws and you are going to practice it. Without practicing the laws, you will not see the greatness we've been talking about. And I believe that God wants to make you great. God wants to take you into an arena of greatness. God wants to turn your life around and you will begin to see it happening. But I believe that the first step to greatness is giving your life to Christ. It's asking him to take charge of your life, take control of your life. It's saying that, Father, I want you to be in charge of my life. I have run my life for all these years. I have not seen much happening. I want to hand it over to you and see a change that you will bring. Greatness will start by putting your hand in God's hand and saying that, walk with me and I'll follow you. If tonight you have listened to this word and you believe that you want to take that step, you want God to hold your hand and walk with you and lead you and direct you and bring greatness into your life, I want you to pray this prayer after me. I just want you to pray this prayer after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to know you. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. I believe that it was because of my sins that he died on the cross. I ask that you would wash me with the blood and cleanse me. I commit myself into your hands. I denounce every sin and every evil. And I proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. From today, I will follow you. From today, I will serve you. From today, I will honor you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for taking charge of my life. Thank you for being my master and my savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have said this prayer and you have believed it in your heart, I want you to take this number and call for counseling. It's 0204-336-002. The number again is 0204-336-002. When you call, let us know that you have given your life to Christ. Let us know that you have said the sinner's prayer and you want counseling and you want guidance, and you would just get exactly that. If you have a testimony from the word that you have heard, you can send it to the same number. It's 0204-336-002, and the office would get back to you and help you. If also you want to sow a seed so that it will help somebody to hear this word, is 0244-885502. You want to sow a seed to bless somebody's life, to help someone to hear this message again, is 0244-885502. For counseling, 0204-336-002. God bless you and thank you. Beloved, I want to invite you to join me at the Rohi Church physically in the auditorium in Committee 22. I believe that you have been following and listening to me preach and share the word with you. I want you to take it to the next level this time. I don't want you to wait for me at 7 p.m. to hear me speak on radio. I want you to take a step from wherever you live, wherever you are listening to me from, and decide that this coming Sunday, I would want to worship with the Rohi Church physically. Our church is in Tema, Community 22. If you put it on the Google map, it will bring you straight to the church, Community 22, Rohi Church, Tema. It will bring you to the church. If you are driving, just drive down to Community 22 and then use the Google map or just ask for Rohi Church. Anybody will bring you there. If you are taking public transport, you could come to Afarewa and then you take a car from Afarewa and say you want to use the new road, and then it will bring you to the Rohi Church. If you use Ashima, you can take a car from the main station and then you get down at Zenu School Junction. When you get down at Zenu School Junction and you ask for the Rohi Church or Rohi School, anybody would be able to bring you there. Every motorbike guy will be able to bring you there. I can't wait to have this fellowship with you. I can't wait to meet you. I have always been speaking to you without meeting you, but this time I would like you to come around so we can have fellowship together. Thank you. God bless you. I can't wait to have you in our church just to visit and then be a blessing and be blessed as well.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. I'm getting ready to be transformed.